this episode. We hope it is a blessing. And welcome to Brethren in Devotion. Hello everyone, welcome to Brethren in Devotion. My name is OJ Hernandez, and I'm so glad you tune in with us. Today is a special day for me. Today is October 15th, 2018. 2 years from when I say yes to a devotional lifestyle. A posture that has changed my life, that has changed the way that I started to know God, the way that I encountered Jesus, and how there's so much that has happened in the last 2 years. But just to give a quick introduction into this, on October 15th, 2016, I was in Las Vegas, Nevada. And around 3 p.m., the Lord came abruptly into the room and He threw me to the floor. And for 45 minutes, He was speaking from the inside out in a way that I have never experienced. That was the first time I heard Him, but not in a way that is audible, but in a way that was resounding from my heart, from the inside out. And at the same time that was happening, He became present in the room. His presence overwhelmed me in such a way, it felt such a heaviness that I couldn't stand. I couldn't do nothing but just to tremble in the floor, to shake, and to hear what He was saying. And it was a lot of words that were said during that day. But that was the way that He decided to come into my life and reveal Himself to me. And what happened is, I've always been in church since I was four. Since I was 4 years old, I've been in church, and I've been in multiple churches and in the Pentecostal charismatic background, right? And for all those years, I always heard of Jesus, and I always, you know, people try to share their experiences by preaching, by telling you things about God, and which is normal in a church environment, but it wasn't until that day in Las Vegas, Nevada, that I didn't knew Him, that I didn't experience Him in the way that if seen in the Bible or even explained in the Gospels. And personally for me, that was life changing. That was something that really changed my life completely. Because until that point, I built my life onto what I learned in church about God. But I believe that in many churches, there's a dangerous spirit that disguises as God, which is the spirit of religion. And that spirit brings us to have false ideologies about God, to have a false image. Therefore, it conducts us into idolatry, because we make an image trying to put God in a place where we do not know Him to be in that place, because we haven't experienced it. And to know God is not to speak in tongues, and it's not to have flashes of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. All those things are awesome. But to know God is actually to come into a place where He decides to reveal Himself to us. Not because we are perfect and we have achieved the way to make that happen, but because in His eternal pursuit for ages, He has chosen a specific day and moment to meet with us, for us to get out of the lie of the spirit of religion, to get out of the lenses of men, of what man has understood about God, of what man has tried to put God in a box, if that makes sense, you know. I don't believe we can ever comprehend the absolute being of God while we are in the flesh, because our minds cannot comprehend Him. He is so much more than anything that we could ever understand about Him. Yet I understand the necessity to introduce Jesus into people, because that is the only way that people will ever get to ever experience Him and have hunger for the rest of their lives, to come into a point where you don't need a church or you don't need a service to worship God and to be with God, but you have created a lifestyle similar of what Adam lived at the Garden of Eden, in which he didn't attend to churches or to congregations to be with God, but his life was to abide in close fellowship with God, and he will come and visit him daily. And that's what happened with me. I came from a mindset of services and congregations and the lifestyle of religion into a place that started on October 15 of 2016, where Jesus himself came to me. He revealed himself to me and he talked to me. Not because I was perfect, not because I've been in 30 years in religion, but because of his eternal pursuit. Because he died on a cross over 2,000 years ago for me to have that boldness, to have the opportunity to know him, to have the opportunity to walk with him, to have the opportunity to live a lifestyle restored in what he intended for mankind, not based again in our own performance, but based in the proximity that he has made available by letting us enter into his dimension when he comes into our lives and unveils before us. So this is something very, very holy to me. And I'm very passionate about this, because I want you to maybe just grasp this thought. I mean, I'm going to honor some people in a minute, but I got to say that for the first time in my life, I felt that I was saved. I have security and peace in my life, that I was really saved. Not because a preacher was telling me to repent constantly, not because somebody was trying to make me get away from sin, but because the very presence and voice of Jesus came so abruptly into my life that any other desire that was in my heart to continue live a life that was sinful or that was maybe away from him was no longer a priority, that was no longer a fleshly need that could ever overcome that desire. And from that day, Jesus put a fire burning inside my heart. The very essence of the Holy Spirit started burning in a way that I really cannot describe, but I can just tell you that it's constantly burning and consuming every part of my life. And I'm just so stirred, because all this week I've been remembering what has happened since that day. All this week I've been just immersed into every prophecy, into every word that the Lord has spoken, because I've been keeping a journal, and I've been trying to as soon as he speaks, just write everything and just remember it. Because I believe that we have become memorial stones for him to come and abide in us So I believe that when Jesus spoke to Peter in Matthew 16, verse 18, it says, I give you the name Peter, a stone, and this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church, my legislative assembly, and the power of death will not be able to overpower it. And I know that when we speak about this verse, we think about the name of Peter, which means rock. But I believe that what Jesus was saying, and actually in the deep studies that I've made, I found out that the word for stone, it is actually resembling the picture of the memorial stone. So I believe that under that encounter that Peter had in that moment of the unveil of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, that's what Jesus meant, that under that stone, under the memory, under the memorial of that encounter, that he will build his church. And I gotta say that encounter on October 15th, 2016 became such a memorial stone that not only made me be born again from that experience, but also it revealed what is truth about the kingdom and crucified every other area of my life where I thought that I had experienced him in any other way. And let me be more clear about what I'm trying to say. It's not that before that encounter I have not experienced the Holy Spirit, or I didn't speak in tongues, or I didn't hear from God. But it wasn't until that day that was legal for me to do so. Because before that, all I was doing is trying to live experiences that were not entirely permitted because I didn't have a close relationship with Jesus. I didn't have a proper way to honor him, a proper way to value him, a proper way to see him. And surely he didn't unveil before me the way he did from that moment. But what happened was from that moment and on, I started developing a relationship with him where everything that I have built until that moment was changed into focusing into who he is. So from that moment, my main and only focus was Jesus, and everything else below him had to align to that reality. And everything that I worked so hard for, and everything that I prepared myself to do under the lens of religion, fell completely from that moment on. You know, one of the things that he told me on that day was that he had called me to preach and teach. But that encounter did not make me want to do those things, but to get rooted in him in such a way that I knew him before I wanted to do any of those things. So the way that that happened is I started to get connected with the podcast of my dear friend Mark Casto. He and Matt Petrie were doing this podcast called The Front Porch. And I knew Mark a few years before that. But when I started listening to the podcast, I saw a change that resounded with what happened to me on October of that year. And while they were talking about devotion and talking about relationships with Christ and making Jesus the main and only focus, it was actually harmonizing with what I was living since October of that year. So in a way, I felt to be attached to them. A little after Mark came to Florida in January, with Bryn Waddell, Tyler England, some other guys. Before they came here, I told Mark that I was gonna meet him there. And I heard the Lord speak so clearly to me. He said, "I have put Mark in your life as a brother. So go there, honor him, be with him." And that's what I did. I got into my car, and he was gonna be for the weekend at Lakeland, Florida. And I remember I decided to sit behind him, although they wanted me to sit next to them, but I decided to sit behind him. And I just started meditating in what the Lord had done in my life for those 3 months since October. And when Mark came to the front and started sharing, I just started weeping, because I know that the same path that the Lord had put me in, he had put Mark as well. And Matt Petrie was part of that too. And after the service, we went to eat and we were talking, and we started, how can I say this, reinforcing our relationship once more. And at the end of the weekend, I told Mark what the Lord has told me about him, and we started speaking from that moment. We tried to do like every 2 weeks phone calls and stuff. But March of 2017, the Lord brought me to the Carolina Revival. He put in my heart to go there. And I remember the first Carolina Revival that I went, it was in March. And I drove over there, and I went a Thursday because I wanted to spend some time with Mark. But I was fasting, so when I got there, we just went to Elijah's baseball game. And it was kind of cold, but they were playing. But what I saw in Mark on that day was such a different man that I knew from before. He was enjoying his family. He didn't have the pressure of ministry, because he was a very successful evangelist and pastor with a big congregation. And the first time I met him, he was so busy. Simply, he was busy, and I could see in his face that he didn't rest enough. And I had the opportunity for him to come to Orlando to hang out with me, and we went to Disney and spent time with our families. And he was so tired, but when I went there on March, it was so liberating to see the change in his lifestyle, to see peace in his life. And that encouraged me even more. I remember after that day, on Friday, we were supposed to meet again, but we couldn't for some reason. So I stood in my hotel room, and I was fasting, and I spent the whole day just sitting in the darkness of the room, because I was meditating in the Lord. And I remember that while I was meditating, the room illuminated. And Jesus himself stood before me. And while I was meditating, I started praying. And the Lord told me, "I want you to intercede. And I want you to agree with me for some things to happen." And I agreed with that. And he started moving from side to side. And I started seeing faces of people. And when I saw a face, he stopped and he told me a prayer, or he identified a need that he wanted me to pray for. And from that moment, intercession has been redefined for me, because Before that, I thought intercession was what they told me about, repeating the same things over and over until it happens. But Jesus, in an instant, showed me what intercession was. And as I was praying for people, I remember the first face that I saw was Apostle Damon Thompson's face. I didn't know him in that moment, but I saw his face so clearly. And I saw him seated in a chair that was also a tree. And this tree was alone in a beautiful valley. And the roots of this tree came to a river that was flowing constantly with the most clear and beautiful water I've ever seen. And I just saw him sitting there with his arm crossed. His arms were crossed, and he was just with his eyes closed, and he has this perception of supreme peace. I mean, I'm trying to explain this, but I don't think words will ever do justice. But he was just sitting there with his arm crossed, and there was this resemblance of peace in his face. And I knew in that moment that I wanted what he had. And then the Lord spoke his name, and he said, I want you to pray for Damon Thompson, for him to remain seated, because he's gonna become a tree planted by a river. And this river will create a garden that will cover the world. So I remember as I was praying this, I saw that roots came out of the tree below the water, and I started seeing faces of more people. And I saw Mark, I saw Matt Petrie, I saw Bobby Lemley, I saw Jimmy Lovejoy, and I saw other people that I didn't knew then, but they are part of the family revival. They're part of the Carolina Revival family. And as people were coming out of the roots, they were becoming trees at the other side of the river, but they were all planted by the river, and they were multiplying at a high speed. And the beautiful thing is that they were all seated with their arms crossed, and just with the resemblance of peace that I saw in Damon Thompson. So at this point, I've never met any of them. I only knew Mark at that moment. So when I entered into this posture of intercession, I started just seeing all those things, and I just didn't knew anything of what that meant, because at that time I didn't knew what being seated meant. I didn't knew that what I was seeing is something prophetic that will become the first of many visions that I had after. That was just the first one. But God was introducing me into a spiritual family. And that day that I saw that vision, the Lord started identifying those people into me. He said that Damon Thompson was going to become a father into my life. And he identified Mark, Matt, and the other guys as brothers, although I considered them as fathers as well. But it was such a revelation in that moment. At this point, I'm fasting, I'm weeping, I've been for hours in this trance, and then the Lord started identifying them and telling me what they are in Him. And although I don't have permission yet to speak about those things, the reason why I'm telling you about that moment of intercession is, it's just to explain the reason why I'm going to honor them in a moment. So This happened Friday morning. Friday night was my first Carolina revival. And I remember getting there. The line is out to the parking lot. But I waited there with such hunger. It was like an hour. When the doors opened, I went inside. There was no space to sit, so I just went to the front. I started worshiping. And a few minutes after, they started just praying and interceding. But I felt so much freedom in that place. And even though it was the first time that I was there, it felt as home. And from that day, my life changed so drastically. I started having encounters constantly, a lot of prophetic words, a lot of wisdom. But over everything, it started a lifestyle of order to bring my life out of the way that I was living into the way that Jesus wanted me to live in his kingdom for him, in which I needed to learn, first of all, to forgive myself. Because under the lens of religion, I was always wrong. I was always doomed. I was always fearful. I have no certainty of salvation. Pretty much every time I could identify that I have committed a sin or that I did something wrong, I have to run down to my feet and repent. And it was a lifestyle of fear and religious acts that actually have nothing to do with the reality of the kingdom. So the first year, which I actually took to dedicate myself to the Lord, I took that whole year to just know Jesus and be with Jesus and enjoy him. Because I had spent over 30 years under the lens of religion, and in the first time that he revealed himself to me, I didn't know anything about him. It felt like I was a stranger to him and him to me, not because he wanted that, but because I truly didn't know him. But I took the whole year to be with him. I took the whole year to know him, and it just created a lifestyle of hunger, a lifestyle of devotion, a lifestyle where I remove myself from prayer and I remove everything that was not intended to worship or to adore Jesus out of my prayer. So pretty much I stopped praying for everything and I started having a life of devotion and adoration, and my main and only focus was for me to honor his presence, for me to value his time, value every encounter, to write every word, to put my undivided attention unto him. And the reason why I'm giving all these personal details about my devotional life is because the main purpose of this podcast is to bring people into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, into the realm of the kingdom of God that can only be available by the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, it doesn't matter what religion you came from. It doesn't matter what you believe. What matters is that you have an encounter with Jesus and he can unveil himself to you the same way that he did with me and with many other people. And for you to find the true meaning of life by just knowing him. And as I'm here just pouring out this knowledge and pouring out these testimonies, man, man, I just keep remembering the countless stories and testimonies and words that he has put in my life. He has changed me in such a way that I cannot explain properly. And if I was going to explain everything that happened for the last 2 years, I probably would be here speaking for days. But I want to... I just want to be open to steer hunger. And for people to have an exit from the system of religion, from the systems of the world, for everything that is systematic or that have an order that is not from the heavenly realms but is an order from the earthly realms, which is based on logic, on men understanding, which is limited. Because surely the Lord God has an order and a way of things. But one of the things that I've learned in my short experience in this lifestyle of devotion, which, by the way, feels like a lifetime, and everything that I've learned and everything that I was before that encounter right now is like a blur. It's like 30 years of my life went somewhere else. But one of the things that I learned, and I've spoke about this in recent podcasts, so if you've heard this, just, it is the mind of Christ. One of the most memorable encounters that I have is actually when he seated me at his throne, and then he let me see through his eyes, and something started on that day that I didn't understood for months, but was the ability to see through his eyes and think the way that he does, which I don't believe is a way. Let me see, how can I explain this? You know, we think by cause and effect or by experience, because our life and our experiences of life dictates how we think. But imagine for a moment thinking as an eternal being. Imagine for a moment thinking with all experience, with every single question answered within you, because you have the knowledge and all thing comes from you. Imagine to think in a way that there's no doubt, where there's no evil, where there's no way that you can fail, but every thought that you have, every word that you said is absolute. It's just has the full meaning of that thought and the full expression of that word concealed in a being. And I know this is not making justice of what that really means, but it's just for you to understand what he let me saw on that day. And it was for me to be immersed in his mind and to see through his eyes and see the absolute being of God, and just understand what when he speaks or when he shares something, he says it with the full intention of that word. He says it with the full expression of that word. And that has helped me a lot to change the way that I think and the way that I say things. Because now, when I speak and when I live things, I try to put myself in the shoes of being in Jesus, to think the way that Jesus does. and to be truthful to my words and to be living a lifestyle that resembles what I'm living. But the mind of Christ is a treasure. And I just want to read this from Philippians chapter 2 for us to have a better explanation of what I'm trying to say. Philippians chapter 2 verses 5 to 8 from the Passion Translation. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set for us. Let his mindset become our motivation. He existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human. He humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and was obedient. He was a perfect example, even in his death, a criminal's death by crucifixion. But I want us to focus in verse 5 when it says, and consider the example of Jesus, the Anointed One. He has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. And my motivation is what I saw through his mind. The reason why I'm doing all these things is because of the example that he set. That it was so definitive and absolute, that his actions when he was on earth physically in the body of a man changed our entire existence and accomplished the establishment of the kingdom of heaven, and also to save us forever. Not only to be saved, but to be saved is just the beginning of something that will define us forever. You know, I used to have salvation as the main goal of my life. I used to go to church and I used to do all the godly things that I used to do for me to be saved. Like I had anything to do with me being saved. But Jesus saved me over 2,000 years ago when he died and resurrected. And the only thing that he was waiting for me was for me to say, yes, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior, and I want to know you for the rest of my life. You know, salvation is not the end, but it's the beginning. I believe salvation starts with our being born again experience, or as the Message Bible says, to be born from above, from the Spirit, where we have a revival in our lives, where our being who was asleep and dead became alive and conscient on the earthly realms about the heavenly realms. And they become together as one, as Jesus let us experience heaven on earth. And for me, this has been one of the main foundations of the lifestyle that I have received since that encounter in October. I remember October of last year when I was celebrating my first year of this devotional life, and I was just, I went to Carolina Revival twice that month because they had two that month. And I remember Dutch Sheets was there and he was speaking. But I remember I was sitting in the floor and he was sitting on the left hand side of the church. But for a moment we locked eyes. And what I saw in that man's eyes was such a fire, peace and joy and certainty. And just by looking into that man's eyes, it stirred even more hunger into my life. I remember the next day was Sunday, and Damon was teaching us again. And for a moment we locked eyes, and I saw the very spirit of the living God come out of him, and he entered into my life, and he burned me with the biggest burn I had in my life. Just by looking into Apostle Damon Thompson's eyes. And it was such a glorious beginning into the new start of the second year. But more than that, it stirred hunger. It stirred more devotional posture. And I'm short of words because I can barely speak right now because the Spirit of God is so overwhelming over me right now. Just remembering. Just remembering all those moments that have become a pillar into my life, have become a foundation, have become such a solid foundation into my life. And I know I'm just starting. And I know that many people are way deeper into this lifestyle, but I'm just enjoying every part of this. And I do not consider myself less or more than any of them, but I consider myself equal just because the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is within us. And this is something that I want people to understand, that we have given the opportunity to enter into a new age. An age that is no longer leaded by the spirit of religion and what it has always been, trying to put God into a certain place, but God is available to us and with us at all times, at all places. He doesn't come and go as religion taught us, but we are completely immersed in his glory, in the goodness of who he is, in everything that he has tried to give us since the beginning of creation, which is to live with him and to enjoy the place that he has created for us. You know, the Lord has spoken many things since the beginning of this devotional life for me. He spoke about this podcast. He spoke about an apostolic mantle on my life, which I didn't discover what that was until almost a year after. And till this date, I've enjoyed a lifestyle of being hidden, a lifestyle of being seated, a lifestyle of certainty and peace. I mean, personally, I've been going through a lot of rough times since May of this year, but the way that I live with Jesus and the peace that he has deposited into my life has given me such endurance in my natural life, which I know I wouldn't been able to handle the same way a couple of years back. But the people that he has put around me, the family that I have inherited, the people that has departed from my life as well, is just made an environment where Jesus remains my main and only focus, and nothing else really takes my undivided attention. and to be in a place where you can live this way no matter what happens in our natural lives is something that can only be achieved once we become part of Jesus and He lives in us and we live in Him and we all live together in the Father as we experience heaven on earth. But more importantly, the hope that He has brought into my life. You know, whoever knows me knows that since 2008 I had serious visions, which in my ignorance of what the visions meant, I always thought that I had to do something with the rapture or with the end of times. So I focused myself into that instead of the beauty of what the vision meant. And I recently spoke about this on the 10-year anniversary of that experience, but today I'm just filled with hope, knowing that I don't have to be in a place where I'm fearful about anything at all. Not that that experience ever brought fear to me. But what I studied after having that experience took me into a path of being fearful, of not planning for the future, of not caring enough for my legacy, which changed the moment that I had my children. But more so today, as I look back into that, I understand what that vision meant. And I can only identify what I saw in that vision with what Enoch lived, which was such a lifestyle of fellowship with Yahweh that one day He took him out of this world. But I'm not trying to get out of this world, because now we have a spiritual father and brothers who has taught me that we are here to establish the kingdom and also to value what Jesus did when He came and died and resurrected, because religion wants to make this big gap before. From the moment that Jesus died and resurrected, He ascended to earth until the time that He comes back, they take out what He accomplished by His death and resurrection. But I've learned in the Spirit to abide in the accomplishments of Christ Jesus and what His death and resurrection meant, not only for me, but for mankind. That makes me see the earth differently. It makes me see people differently. He makes me get out of the seat of judgment that I've been all my life since I was in religion. Because religion teaches us to judge people like we are in a position that we are better than them. But in the eyes of Christ Jesus, we are all equal. We are all in the same position, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that changes the ways that we have a perspective about people, about the earth. One of the things that Jesus has shown me in dreams is, for you to have the whole story, one of the times that I went to Carolina Revival, I came back and started a fasting. And in that fasting, Jesus told me, "You're going to be an apostle of mine. I will send you into places and you will redeem those places." And when He said those things, I didn't know what that meant. I mean, recently I had received a lot of insight from what Damon Thompson has been teaching us about the restoration of the earth through our lifestyle. But then I started having visions and dreams of me traveling to numerous places in the world, to desolated places, and just creating altars, putting fire into them, and just worshiping there alone to Jesus and watching sunsets and sunrises. I saw another vision. This was more like a trance because I was fully awake and I was in my secret place. And as I was sitting there, I started seeing like a sunrise, and Yahweh seated next to me, and he said, as you travel the world and as you reclaim territories, you will see the exchange of ages. And that was so life-changing, because before I always envisioned ministry as me going to places and teaching and preaching about Jesus. Yet what is in the mind of Jesus and what he wants me to do is just to go to desolated places and reclaiming the earth for him. And I know a lot of people will not understand this and even criticize it. At this point, I don't really care, but I'm just releasing this information for the few that will have enough hunger to get into that place. Because now that I understand what reclamation means, what righteousness means, what I have experienced, the peace and joy of the Lord in ways that religion never allowed me to experience, it has made me redefine everything that I've learned and even lay it down. But more importantly, I believe that what Yahweh is putting in my heart is a dream of fulfillment, yet leaving a legacy that will expand for the ages. I think we are becoming a solid foundation for our children, our children's children, and generations, therefore, to receive territories and to receive the whole world, for the kingdom of God to appear before us and for us to provoke the second coming of Christ, not because the world is dying, not because the Antichrist is reigning, but because we have reclaimed it for him. And I'm filled of hope. I'm filled of dreams. I'm filled with hunger. I'm burning like never before. And what I prayed this morning was, what I want for my third year, Lord, is to burn even more and to know you even deeply. You know, I'm not focusing in what the Lord is promising to me, not because I don't want it, but because I don't want anything that he can give me to take my focus from him. And I believe once we have become rooted in devotion in such a way that we start thinking this way, then we will start seeing him and honoring him properly. So today I've just taken this time to share a little bit about this celebration, to give a little more detail into personal encounters to still hunger. And finally, I just would like to honor some people in my life, because without them, I wouldn't be in this place. So first of all, I gotta honor Mark Castro. Mark, you're my brother. I love you. I love your family. And I am so thankful that the Lord introduced me to you before and after this lifestyle, which has been such a testimony and such an example into my life. Through your podcast with Matt, it answered so many questions at the beginning where I didn't know what to do, and even inspire me to live in such a way. I want to honor Matt Petri. Matt, man, what can I say? You're amazing, bro. I have a lot of things in my heart that I pray for you because the Lord showed me for you, but more importantly, the example that you show us through the podcast and through lifestyle when I go to Carolina Revival speaks wonders to me. I want to thank Damon Thompson for simply saying yes. The most simple thing that a man can do is also the deepest. And I am just so thankful that you have separated yourself for Yahweh in such a way, and that you burn in such a way that you challenge us and you bring us a theology that is full of hope and truth and the kingdom. I don't think I'll ever have enough words to thank you for what you do, but I just want you to know that I honor you and that I love you. To Dutch Sheets, what can I say about Dutch? Since the first time, even before I started this path of devotion, your testimony of God giving you keys on the city of Washington stirs such a hunger in my life that I believe preceded the lifestyle of devotion and also prepared me for it. So I just want to thank you for being a father to all of us. I want to thank Bobby Lemley, Jimmy Lovejoy, Brian Waddell. You guys have become family as well. Thank you for letting me know your families, to hang out with you all, to simply know you. It's such an honor to share life with you all, and I'm just thankful. I want to thank the rest of the Carolina Revival family for just sheer hunger, just seeing your example, just every time I go, just seeing you sheer hunger and being there is just life-changing. I want to thank the Father's House here in Orlando, Florida, which has become my family as well. To Michael Dow, Norbert Morales, Stephen Brickhouse, the many other people that are here. I will be for hours talking about them, but you guys have been my anchor, and especially Norbert, who has been my brother for more than 20 years. But your example at the beginning of my devotional life was, I don't have words, I'm just thankful. Because you were a true example, a true brother to me. You always have been, but now that we are in this lifestyle, it has really changed me. And you bear with me while I was so rebellious against the church, what I was trying to be rebellious about, religion. Michael Dow, you have become a big brother to me, man. I just thank you for burning so hard and for being there with your patience, with your counseling, with your guidance, with your leadership. To Stephen Brickhouse, man, I see you like a big brother. But there's a peace and something that comes out of you that is very difficult to explain into one word, but it's just peace and certainty that every time I get together with you and we talk, it's just amazing. And there's many people more that I could honor, but I just want to thank everybody that the Lord has put in my life in a way or another. Thank you all for bearing with me all this time of transition, of learning, of so many things that are going on in my life. And I know for the most part, most people don't understand what is going on, but for the few that understand, I'm just thankful, and I honor you. I honor you all, and I thank everybody that listens to this podcast and listens to me rambling and meeting with people and stirring hunger. It means the world to me that from the very first episode of this podcast. The podcast has been increasing constantly, and I don't think that will ever stop. And it's because of all of you, and because of what Yahweh is doing to let this out. Because I realize I'm not the best speaker in the world, but every time I come here, I speak from the heart, and I speak under the guidance and the pressure of the Holy Spirit inside of my life to steer hunger and to bring people out of religion and into a lifestyle that is devotional, and that makes us become a family with Yahweh and the people who are running with us. So today I'm very emotional, but over everything I have an abundant joy. The joy of Yahweh, who has come into my life to just give me a new way of life, give me hope, give me freedom, liberate me from the thinking of men, the logic of men, the bondage of the spirit of religion, and simply to love Him in such a way that is mutual. Because in whatever aspect I consider myself devotional, or I consider myself that I love God, I know that He does it in an absolute and complete way. So as I move forward in this lifestyle, I thank you all for being part of it. And I just hope to create more relationships and to expand the ones that I have at the moment. And as this new year begins, I just pray all over you that you will have more hunger, that you will make Jesus your main and only focus, and that we all can abide in His presence at all times, so we can value Him and honor Him properly. I thank you all for your time, and we'll see you soon. God bless. Thank you for listening to another episode of Brethren in Devotion. If you would like to support this podcast, please go to facebook.com/brethreninDevotion.